This is Sustainable Long Island. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. New York State's Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was signed into law in July of 2019. The legislation requires New York to reduce economy-wide greenhouse gas emissions 40% by 2030 and no less than 85% by 2050 from 1990 levels. The law creates a Climate Action Council charged with developing a scoping plan of recommendations to meet these targets and place New York on a path toward carbon neutrality. But fossil fuel interests are working to slow down or stop the implementation of the law. This week, I talked with Betta Broad of New Yorkers for Clean Power about the gas industry's disinformation campaign against state plans to implement New York's groundbreaking Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. Here's our conversation. Betta Broad, welcome to Sustainable Long Island.
Thank you so much, Francesca. I'm delighted to be here.
We last had Anne Rabe, who is part of the Renewable Heat Coalition, which also the New Yorkers for Clean Power is a member of that coalition, that statewide coalition, to talk about the past legislative session. The signature bill, the All-Electric Buildings Act, was defeated in the face of a massive disinformation campaign by the gas industry. What are the companies that are behind it?
Well, probably the leading kind of AstroTurf campaign that the fossil industry was hitting us with last session is called New Yorkers for Affordable Energy. You really can't make this up. And they are, you know, led and financed by the American Petroleum Institute, by gas utilities and fossil gas companies. You know, some of them are very familiar probably to your audience: National Grid, Dominion Energy, Williams, Enbridge, Dan Scammer, Millennium Pipeline, you know, various fossil industry companies that are really, you know, pushing to keep expanding gas in New York and nationally, and know that our nation-leading climate law threatens their bottom line because we're going to decarbonize our state, whether they like it or not.
So these are national players who are zooming in on New York. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. They are very much national and international companies, and they are doing everything they can to defeat our progress here in New York State. They've tried before with the campaign to ban fracking that we were successful in. And now, you know, because we've banned fracking, we've shown we can do it. We've passed a nation-leading climate law. Now they want to slow down the implementation of that law because we are still hooked on fossil fuels. And they know that it's going to take away their, you know, profit-making ability as we transition off of gas in the building sector and the power sector and the transportation sector. They're going to lose out. And so they're now spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars to spread their misinformation, to hire very well-paid lobbyists and put pressure on our decision makers and really influence the public in a negative way. So people think that we're going to have to keep using fossil fuels forever, or that their alternatives that they're proposing are feasible, but they're really, really not. And we're doing what we can to get the word out to the contrary.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more about that disinformation campaign. I mean, they're sending emails to their customers. You see the New Yorkers for Affordable Energy all over the place. Kind of ironic considering that National Grid just announced another huge increase on top of last year's increase for prices. National Grid itself, the company says it has a clean energy vision. Does it? And what is that vision?
Yes, it is very ironic that their name is New Yorkers for Affordable Energy, because I think most people do not think that their gas utilities are necessarily that concerned with affordability. But the so-called clean energy vision that they're putting out there are really relying on these false solutions related to renewable natural gas. I should, you know, also kind of put that in quotes, just like in many ways we do with natural gas. gas, which, you know, many of my colleagues prefer to call it fracked gas or fossil gas, and, you know, renewable natural gas, it's still methane. So it still has an enormous, you know, carbon footprint and really is not in keeping with our nation-leading climate law that requires that we reduce emissions and, you know, decarbonize our economy. And that aside, there's really just not enough of it. So even if we were going to use some renewable natural gas for, you know, some sectors such as steel and, you know, heavy industrial uses, air travel, you know, things like that, there's definitely not enough to use for the building sector. It's totally impractical and still has the same harmful air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions that we're moving off of. And that's why heat pumps and electrification are the way to go. And then there's green hydrogen, which is their other one, which is really ridiculous because we would have to completely, you know, rebuild our infrastructure, you know, with all new pipes, with all new appliances. You know, it would just be insane. So again, they're putting forward these false solutions with RNG, renewable natural gas, and green hydrogen. But at the end of the day, electrification is the much more practical and affordable way to go. And those technologies, you know, may have some role in, you know, as I said, with some of these, you know, really hard to decarbonize sectors, but not for our building sector. We already have the solutions. We have heat pumps. I have air source heat pumps in my house and they work great. So, you know, why not, you know, shift to all electric energy efficient heat pumps?
Now, they counter by saying that renewables are unaffordable and unreliable. How do clean power advocates respond to that? I mean, what does happen when the grid goes down, for example?
The fossil fuel industry kind of likes to conflate the power sector and the building sector. And the truth is, with most gas furnaces today, if the power goes out, you can't use those either, right? So you would still run into that problem. And some people, you know, do like to have, you know, a backup generator or a wood stove, you know, in those kind of situations. I'll tell you, we don't have a backup system here at my house. We have air source heat pumps, but we do have a very tight building envelope and, you know, it's well insulated so it can maintain the temperature even when the power goes out. But the fact that they're claiming that somehow heat pumps are going to cause power outages, you know, is just pretty ridiculous. And we'll actually find that, you know, just we were able to transition to using air conditioning, right? That created an additional burden for the grid, if you want to call it that, but it wasn't a problem. And actually, heat pumps use much less energy than air conditioning. So as people transition from traditional air conditioning to heat pumps, we'll be using less energy. And in the winter peak that people are so concerned about, because right now we have a summer peak when there's a couple of days in the summer when we use the most power, you know, in the entire year. And there's some concern once we switch to especially air source heat pumps, we'll have this winter peak. But we're a long way off from that. And at the same time that we're electrifying our building sector, we're also greening our grid and we're building out the power sector's capacity with renewable energy, with wind, with solar, with storage. So this is a transition that's going to take time and we have safeguards. The Climate Act that there's all this fear-mongering around didn't modify the Public Service Commission's requirement to ensure affordable and safe and secure and reliable access to electric service. So they have the right to consider any like program's impact on providing safe and adequate electricity. That is the number one priority for our state regulators, for our Public Service Commission. And in no way does the Climate Act interfere with that. And, you know, our other state leaders are making sure at NYSERDA and elsewhere, they're making sure that, you know, the reliability impacts of renewable energy and electrification are being evaluated at every stage. So the grid is not going to be endangered by electrification and people shouldn't be afraid of that. There has been extensive modeling modeling and studying that shows that we will be able to meet demand with electrification through 2050. And that's, you know, with energy that will be increasingly, you know, reliable and clean coming from renewable energy.
Now, you mentioned NYSERDA. I've forgotten exactly what NYSERDA stands for, but that's a state agency that covers all these clean energy issues. I mean, maybe you could describe what it is, but, you know, I was just reading today, in fact, an article, recent article, I think it was in the New York Times, that showed that the new IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, has a huge amount of subsidies for people to not only do things like tightening up their home like you have, but also to put in air source heat pumps and battery storage.
Yeah, it's really exciting that the Inflation Reduction Act passed and is going to do so much to spur clean energy adoption and implementation of the technologies that we're talking about. It's going to really help us not only in New York, but nationwide, because a lot of states don't have a NYSERDA. And I'm happy to explain, you know, the acronym is the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. And really, you know, NYSERDA is this amazing resource for information about energy programs, for support, for financing. And NYSERDA actually is about to launch these regional statewide energy hubs, regional clean energy hubs that are designed to help people access the programs and the incentives so that they can easily implement heat pumps and energy efficiency and solar and electric vehicles and all of these technologies, you know, to make them more accessible and more affordable. So those are going to be launching the next couple of months. And if people are interested in learning more about, you know, now about the different types of credits and rebates that the IRA will be bringing to us, Rewiring America is a nonprofit organization, and they have this really cool little calculator on their website that you can put in and see how much you'll be saving on all of these different technologies.
This is Sustainable Long Island, and I'm Francesca Rhiannon. I'm talking with Betta Broad, Campaign Director for New Yorkers for Clean Power and Director of Advocacy and Organizing at the Association for Energy Affordability. You mentioned implementing the New York Climate Act. This is coming up. This is happening, a so-called scoping plan, which we have reported on this show about, is coming up, and there's been a real assault by these companies on the scoping plan. What are some of the critical recommendations in it that the clean power movement is supporting, clean power movement for buildings is supporting? What's a must pass that has to stay in the recommendations of that plan?
Well, you know, at a very high level, I like to say that it's all about greening the grid and electrifying everything. So the, you know, main kind of goals with the Climate Act are reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030 and 85% by 2050. And then transitioning, you know, to renewable energy 70% by 2030, which is really a big jump, and then carbon free by 2040. So those are kind of the high level goals. And I should also mention that at the heart of the Climate Act is a priority on making sure that it's a just and equitable transition, and that at least 35%, with a goal of 40% of the benefits of these clean energy investments, go to disadvantaged communities. And that's something that's also, you know, being, you know, modeled at the national level, which is really exciting, is that, you know, increasing investments in disadvantaged communities and environmental justice communities. You know, as far as specific, you know, sector related recommendations in the Climate Act, buildings, we know we need to electrify 1 to 2 million homes with energy efficient heat pumps by 2030. Also by 2030, we need to replace 3 million gas vehicles on the road with EVs. So those are just, you know, some big numbers that we have to stick to. And, you know, part of the building sector recommendations also requires that we make sure that our new buildings, our smaller buildings starting in 2024, be all electric. so that new construction does not rely on fossil fuels anymore. And there was legislation that I believe your previous guest spoke about that we were working on in the last legislative session to codify that in law, because some of the recommendations we also need accompanying legislation for. So, you know, the scoping plan, while it establishes like a pathway to reaching New York's, you know, Climate Act emissions reductions and the equity requirements, and it will be incorporated into the state energy plan. You know, it'll help shape regulatory decision making and budget making. It's, you know, I can't stress enough how important it is, which is why the fossil fuel industry is spending millions and millions of dollars to convince people that it's a bad idea, even though it has all of these benefits for health and the economy and our climate. But, you know, that being said, we also need certain legislation to make sure we stay on this path. And one piece of legislation, which you already talked a lot about, was the All Electric Building Act, another very important piece.
It did not pass in the last legislative session. Right. Will it be coming up again?
Right.
Will it be coming up again?
Yes, we will be continuing to focus on that to make sure that that is codified in law, that new construction be all electric. Right. We know that existing buildings, it's going to be a transition, but we also need to be, you know, supporting that transition as much as possible and, you know, not expanding the gas system, which there's other legislation called the Gas Transition and Affordable Energy Act. And that's really focused on making sure that we have this equitable, timely transition, and that we change these very antiquated public service laws that have been around for 100 years that essentially require that the gas utilities keep expanding and provide gas for anyone who wants it. And if you're within 100 feet of an existing line, we'll actually subsidize those costs. So all ratepayers are paying to keep expanding the gas system at a time when we need to be moving away from fossil fuels, away from gas, and instead investing in people being able to do weatherization and energy efficiency and heat pumps. And actually, recently, the utilities filed and showed that just in the last 5 years, they've spent $2 billion for this, you know, this gas expansion related to the 100-foot rule. And I'm sorry if I'm, you know, sounding a little wonky, but that basically means, you know, that all of us, you know, paid $2 billion so that other people can connect to the gas system if they're within 100 feet of it. And so, you know, we want to get rid of that subsidy. We don't think that we should be socializing and, you know, subsidizing the costs of expanding the gas system to all ratepayers. We don't think that's fair.
And I should point out, the California Public Utilities Commission just this last week unanimously voted to entirely eliminate ratepayer subsidies for the extension of new gas lines beginning in July. I mean, they are not wasting any time amid a statewide push to decarbonize the building sector. So this is really what you're talking about. And if California can do it, why can't we?
Well, exactly. And, you know, this piece of legislation just really makes a lot of sense, because there's no way that we should be forcing people to pay to keep hooking up more people to the gas system when we know that, you know, over the next 30 years, we are going to be decarbonizing our economy and getting off gas. And, you know, and something that a lot of people, I think, you know, don't think about is that, unfortunately, you know, the people who are left on the gas system, who are kind of left stranded on the system, once, you know, we do have enough people who are using heat pumps, they're going to be left holding the bag. They're going to be left paying for, you know, the cost of this enormous system, of its maintenance. They're still going to be leaking pipes, right? There's still going to be a lot of maintenance costs, and there's going to be those folks that are still on the system, and they're going to be paying for the cost of maintaining the entire system. That's another reason why we want to make sure that we pass this legislation. It's to ensure that, you know, it is an equitable transition, it is affordable, that it's done in a timely way, and, you know, not keep, you know, digging the hole and expanding the system at the cost of all ratepayers.
Now, Bette Broad, in the minute or two that we have left, what are some things that our listeners might be interested in finding out about, ways that they can help to make sure that the laws are robust and that there can be a pushback against this disinformation campaign by the fossil fuel industry?
Well, one of the things that we're really excited to see is that municipalities across the state are passing resolutions in support of the draft scoping plan, you know, of this climate action plan that is going to be finalized by the end of the year. So, you know, we'd be happy to work with people if they're interested in bringing that to their municipal leaders. They can contact me. They can visit NYCP's website, nyforcleanpower.org, and we'd be happy to help. You can spread the word, you know, about the importance of eliminating our dependence on fossil fuels, you know, for all of the reasons we've been talking about related to health and climate. You know, also price stability. There's a big benefit for transitioning to renewable energy. In that, in the long term, it will mean that prices are stable and we'll get away from this, you know, crazy volatility, especially, you know, since Russia invaded Ukraine. You know, it's been terrible for people, not only obviously in Ukraine, but also for people paying energy bills. And so, you know, helping to get the word out among friends and neighbors, you know, that energy efficiency, electrification, renewable energy are really going to benefit their communities, their health. They're going to create jobs. We're going to keep energy investments local. And we would love to help spread the word. We have a great presentation that we're delighted to bring to any community group or school about greening the grid and electrifying everything and about, you know, New York's clean energy transition that is already underway. So would be glad to, you know, talk to anyone who's interested in bringing that to their church group, community group. And, you know, we have a lot of different ways to plug in with the campaign Renewable Heat Now. We have these great kind of regional lobbying teams so people can contact their elected officials to support the types of legislation that we were just talking about. Make sure that our elected officials are hearing from regular people, not just paid lobbyists by the fossil fuel industry. And then, of course, you know, taking action in your own life to reduce your energy use and to move towards electrification. You know, I mentioned that the clean energy hubs are about to launch, and we've got a lot of resources on our site as well. But, you know, would be glad to help connect people to those programs so they can find out about the incentives and the rebates and how actually transitioning to electrification is affordable. But it's a process and you have to make a plan, right? Most of the time, you know, people are going to wait until their equipment or their appliances are at the end of their useful life, right? And they're going to replace them. So if you know that you have like an old dryer, you know, and you start researching now that there's great all electric options, or, you know, you're going to be buying a new stove sometime soon, you know, look at induction stoves. And then, of course, you know, bigger investments like your heating system or domestic hot water, you know, switching to heat pumps. If you make a plan, and we have these free clean energy coaches that you can sign up for at, you know, our website, nyforcleanpower.org, and they'll basically work with you to create that plan and ask, you know, answer any questions you might have about electric vehicles or heat pumps or energy efficiency or solar. So, you know, we want to help people both as consumers, as citizens, as activists or advocates, so that people really feel empowered and, you know, not in despair about the climate crisis. So helping people take action in a positive way to implement clean energy solutions, we're glad to do that in whatever way we can.
Bette Broad, one thing we haven't talked about is the fact that a lot of people on Long Island, especially in Suffolk County where I live, use propane instead of frack gas. And I have a backup I also have a heat pump, but I have a backup oil system. So are the issues the same? What about the costs and liability, all those things we've talked about with frack gas?
Thanks for that question, Francesca. I'm glad you brought it up because oil and propane users actually have an awesome opportunity with switching to heat pumps because they will, by and large, save money from day one. You know, it is very cost effective to switch to heat pumps, and there's great incentives available to people on Long Island and throughout the state to do so. And I'll also mention that, you know, those industry AstroTurf campaigns that we were talking about earlier by the fossil fuel industry, there's also one specifically being funded by the oil and propane industry. So people on Long Island should really, you know, kind of be on guard that they may be getting mailers or advertising from Smarter New York Energy, which is one of these campaigns that are basically, you know, using not only the usual tactics of misinformation, but they're also using their, you know, extensive business and customer contact and billing lists to spread fear and misinformation about the Climate Act and about, you know, the feasibility of solutions like electrification. So they've been working very hard on a targeted anti-heat pump, anti-electrification campaign, and it's quite insidious. So just, you know, be on the lookout for that. And please, you know, let us know at nyforcleanpower.org if we can help you access incentives and companies in your area to switch to heat pumps. You won't be sorry that you did.
What are some of those incentives, and are they going to be better after January 1st?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so exciting. We were talking earlier about the IRA. So, you know, we have incentives through NYSERDA, through the utilities, and we will have incentives soon that are boosted from the Inflation Reduction Act. If you're a low to moderate income household, you'll save even more on making the switch. And we also recommend that people get an energy audit, which are free for most New Yorkers. And that will identify, you know, where you have leaks, where your home is drafty, where you need to get, you know, some insulation and create a tighter building envelope. And by doing that, you'll be able also, you know, to maintain a more comfortable, warmer home in the winter, cooler home in the summer. Oh, and that's another thing I forgot to mention, that for people who use oil and propane and don't have central air, heat pumps are a fantastic way to provide, you know, not only a more efficient, more cost-effective source of heat, but also air conditioning, and will use less energy than your typical, you know, window unit. So that's another really big benefit of making the switch to heat pumps.
Oh, that's great. Betta Broad of New Yorkers for Clean Power, thank you so much for talking with us here on Sustainable Long Island. We'll be posting links to all those organizations and to that assistance. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Francesca.
This is Francesca Rhiannon. We heard my conversation with Betta Broad, Campaign Director of New Yorkers for Clean Power. The group is online at nyforcleanpower.org. More information about New York's Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act is at climate.newyork.gov/our-climate-act. NYSERDA, New York State's Energy Research and Development Agency, is at nyserda.ny.gov. Sustainable Long Island is heard monthly at this time and also on the second Saturday at 9 a.m. Programs are archived at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, co-producer with Tony Ernst.